Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. Before we get into my latest interview, I wanted to take just a quick moment to ask for your help. If you're a writer or a passionate reader and you find value in these podcast interviews with writers and authors, I would just ask that you share the podcast with two of your friends. Let them know about the many interviews available at the Reading and Writing Podcast. Thanks for your help and stay tuned for my interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Elsa Hart, author of the novel The Cabinets of Barnaby Maine. Elsa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your novel, The Cabinets of Barnaby Maine, how would you describe the novel?
Well, the novel is a historical mystery that is set in London in the year 1703. And it's set in this community of collectors who were creating these huge, essentially early museums of objects brought from all over the world. And it was this obsessive, kind of crazy community. And the detective is a woman who visits one of these collectors to look at the plants that he has in his collection. And during her visit, that collector is murdered, and she investigates.
Well, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing The Cabinets of Barnaby Maine?
Yes. So it began a long time ago, actually, with the first books I wrote, which were historical mysteries set in China in the same time period. And one thing I didn't know about writing before I started was that with each book you write, you kind of create this whole like increasing world of ghosts, of these characters who you put into books, and then they kind of get squeezed out as the books get written, because there's so much less space in a book than I thought there was. So from those early books, there was a character who was modeled on a Scottish ship's surgeon named James Cunningham, who traveled to China. And I think in 1696, or at least that's when he started planning it. And when he was going to go there, he got these instructions from collectors telling him what they wanted him to try to send back during his travels. And that character didn't really end up playing a role in those first books. But I always wanted to explore that world and those objects and kind of follow them back to London and enter the community of collectors who were waiting for them there. And so that's what I ended up doing with The Cabinets of Barnaby Maine.
And how much research did you do about the early years of botany when you were working on this?
I did a lot. I mean, I had done a lot of research that I hadn't used for earlier books, and then I supplemented it as I developed the story. You know, on the spectrum of historical fiction, my books are much more on the fiction end. There are basically, except for mention of kings and queens, none of the characters in my books are actual historical figures. So my research is really about creating kind of an authentic, full feeling world that you can step into, but doesn't require the sort of years and years of rigorous research that one of the historical fiction that's really trying to be as close as possible to truth would require.
Sure. Are you planning to write more novels about the character Cicely Kay?
I have one all plotted out that continues her story back to the north of England, which is where she grew up. But the past year and a half have just thrown me into such different places emotionally and intellectually. I've sort of been working on a bunch of other things, other projects at the same time and kind of feeling my way through different genres. So I don't know exactly which one is going to happen next, but there are a couple of things in the works.
And I'm assuming you're referring to kind of the last 18 months or so of the pandemic. How has that impacted you creatively?
Hugely. You know, my circumstances haven't changed as much as so many people's have, because I was working from home and in a pretty isolated way before the pandemic. And I don't have children, so I haven't had that really difficult transition to having the household change that much, although my husband now works from home as well. But I think I just I just have been in a space where my imagination just feels different, both in my writing and my reading. I'm all sorts of books that I would normally turn to for comfort reading just kind of weren't doing it for me when the pandemic started. And I've started reading other kinds of books, all of which, you know, there's so much positive to say about that, but I'm really not quite sure where I am mentally.
I'm sure you're not the only one.
Yeah.
So what was your original writing journey that led you to writing and publishing and getting your first novel published?
It was unexpected. I am not one of the people who knew from a young age that I wanted to be a writer or even did any fiction writing, really. I always loved to read mysteries, and I read them very obsessively with a lot of, when I was, in elementary school, I was reading Nancy Drew novels and like taking notes on them so that I could, fairly try to guess who the culprit would turn out to be. But actually starting to write didn't happen until, so I went to law school, and then once I graduated, instead of taking the bar and becoming a lawyer, I went to China for 3 years with my husband, who's a botanist, and he was studying plants high in the mountain, rhododendrons high in the mountains of Yunnan province. And it was while I was there that I still think high altitude had a lot to do with it. I was doing a lot of, hiking really at high altitude, not sleeping very much, rereading or listening to a lot of Agatha Christie books as sort of comfort listening when I couldn't sleep at night on the mountain, and just kind of started developing an idea for a story and took the kind of unique opportunity of being where I was to write it. And then when we came back to the US, looked into getting it published, and that ended up happening, which was awesome.
So what was the writing process for you with The Cabinets of Barnaby Maine? Are you someone who does an extensive outline, or do you just kind of think about it and then jump into the narrative? What's kind of your process?
I'm a obsessive, controlling outliner. and I sort of didn't know that there was another option before I started meeting other writers, and particularly for writing mysteries. I remember learning from Donna Leone that she's able to like start a mystery novel without knowing who the killer is going to be until she, figures it out by the end. And I can't imagine, because for me, I really have to have, it almost feels like building a logic puzzle that's kind of the bones, the skeleton of the story. And then once that's all completely set, only then do I start trying to write nice sentences.
What writing advice would you offer for those who might be working on their own stories and novels?
Oh, so much. Mostly to all the things I've learned. As I said before, the realization that that there's less space in a book than you think there is, that probably when you start out, you're going to realize you have enough in your head for a lot of books, which is a great realization. I think taking the time to celebrate small successes and victories is really important, because it can be a lonely place to be in your own head and constructing a story. So, not just waiting for that, grand moment of, publication day, or although that is a really, really special time, but, when you write a sentence that you're proud of, just kind of stick with that feeling for a minute, or when you have a day where you wrote a bunch of sentences you're proud of, let yourself be in that, because that's really sustaining over the long term. And then I think also just accepting that for almost every writer, very much including myself, it takes a lot of drafts to get to a finished product, and it's okay to write really ugly stuff as you're working through your ideas and getting to where you want to be at the end. And, let yourself do that. It's okay, and you'll get there.
That's good. What novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
You've caught me in the 24 hours between books. I always try to give myself like one day when I finish a book before like snatching up the next one. It kind of reminds me of sometimes at the end of like an exercise class where you're supposed to just lie down and like let your what you've gained settle into your body. So I've just finished a book called Lolly Willows by Sylvia Townsend Warner. It's an old book. I think it was published in the 1920s, and it was wonderful. It's if you're in a Halloween mood, it is appropriate for that, and it's very much about a woman who feels trapped in her circumstances and finds a really unexpected way out. And it's a cheerful, ultimately a uplifting book. So I very much recommend it. And I think next up is going to be a book called Wild Seed by Octavia Butler. I've been reading a lot of science fiction and fantasy lately.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels?
So my website is elsahart.com, and I'm not very active on social media, but I do have an Instagram page that is a small happy place where I try to just post, you know, pictures of things that I enjoy or that remind me of stories that I enjoy. And I'm always really happy to interact with readers there. It's my name on Instagram is just Elsa Hart.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Elsa Hart, author of the novel The Cabinets of Barnaby, Maine. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Elsa, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Great.